Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. And I'm joined by Jeremy Lent, whose new book is The Patterning Instinct, A Cultural History of Humanity's Search for Meaning. The book is available now wherever you find your fine books in bookstores. It's from Prometheus Books. Great name for a publisher, by the way. Jeremy, the book is a heady reader. I enjoyed it very much, but let's just start with the title. Describe for me what a patterning instinct actually is.
Yeah, so it's an instinct that is really unique to humans, that while other animals have this patterning instinct to some degree, we have it to a completely different level. And it's the instinct that allows us, or kind of drives us, to pattern meaning into everything around us. So, for example, when just a newborn infant is born, nobody tells her that she's meant to, for example, learn language. But her instinct drives her to take all these random kind of sounds and activities and stuff like that and to create language out of it by patterning meaning into stuff. And what's so fascinating is that instinct is what led humans, when we really first evolved as humans, to look at the universe around everything, the constellations, nature, everything else, and try to make meaning out of it. So in a way, it's the instinct that led us to develop culture and really everything that is kind of uniquely human since then.
Your book discusses two separate incidents or two separate pieces of history from the 15th century involving explorers. Can you kind of explain that?
Yes, well, you know, that's one of the things that the book looks at is how, through that patterning instinct, we create culture, we create values, and how each culture has a different set of values, and how those values actually shape the pattern of history. So this example that you're talking about is one that I think really shows that in the starkest relief. So, you know, we all know that in 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered the Americas, and that just changed history fundamentally. But what we don't know so well is that earlier that century, actually decades earlier, there was this massive Chinese armada. It was a fleet that had nearly 300 ships, and they were so massive that you could actually fit 10 of Columbus's boats into one of this armada, headed by somebody called Admiral Zheng He. And there was something like 30,000 people in this fleet, and they basically owned the Indian Ocean. They went to Africa, Arabia, Sri Lanka, and you name it. And wherever they went, they basically had total control. They could have done whatever they wanted. But what's so fascinating is that they didn't do the kind of exploitation, conquering, enslaving, and everything that we saw Columbus and the Europeans do in the New World. Instead, what they basically did was find who were the leaders of different areas, bring them back to China, have them kowtow to the emperor, and establish trade relations. And that, I think, is so telling as to how different sense of norms, different sense of values of what you're meant to do led to such different directions in history.
Is there a way that this patterning instinct could be broken off and controlled? Is it something in the brain that is controllable by medication, certain things like that? Or how does it work just scientifically in our own bodies?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So, you know, I think that the way in which we can have some kind of regulation, if you will, of this patterning instinct is really just by becoming aware of it. So each of us really uses that patterning instinct as we grow up to develop what's known as a world view. It's our unconscious sense, if you will, of how the world works, how things work in nature, what we're meant to do, what values are the kind of norms we base things on, etc. And for most of the time, our world view is kind of unconscious. We don't even think about it. But when we become aware that other people can have patterned different kinds of meaning into the world, it allows us to look at our own patterning instinct and kind of question, well, you know, when I made sense of that years ago, did that have to be that way? Or could I have made sense in a different kind of way? And in fact, I hope that my book really opens that question to people, invites them to look at their own patterning instinct, at the meaning they make from the world around them.
Is pattern and instinct something that can be as simple for, say, a dog hears the treat jar open in the kitchen and comes running, or as simple as a human being seeing a red light and knowing you have to stop? Is that the patterning instinct in its simplest terms?
Yeah, you know, I think that is the patterning instinct working in the simplest way, and that's something we share pretty much with most mammals. In fact, any creature that has a brain which has a certain level of sophistication. But so, if you will, what we do when we pattern meaning into the whole world around us is we take that to the kind of nth degree. And by doing that, we really, as humans, are the only species to, as far as we know, to take that to the next level and ask questions about the meaning of life. You know, why am I here? What is this world around us? And those are really some of the things that we can feel make us uniquely human. And it gives us this kind of glorious ability to have consciousness. But as we explore in the book, it also comes with some prices, because it comes with this way in which we create imbalances with nature. We have so much power over nature by using this instinct that it leads to this kind of situation we have in the world right now where we're kind of out of balance, if you will, with the natural world.
We see this, I look at the technological breakthroughs that come through in the world. We see that there's a new drug that comes out that supposedly does something great, but the trouble is nobody can afford the damn thing, and so it doesn't do us any good. How does the whole scientific advancement play into this theory that you can have all these great scientific advancements, but if you don't do anything with it or if people can't afford it, it's worthless?
Yes, you know, I think that one of the biggest issues we're looking at in the world right now is this huge inequality that you're touching on. And the fact that as technology gets more and more advanced, it can lead to even greater splits than we've seen right now between the real affluent and the rest of the world. So, in fact, one of the things I look at in the final chapter of my book is trajectories to civilization's future. And the thing that's so strange is that on the one hand, there are people, I think quite appropriately, worried about the unsustainable rate in which we're kind of consuming the world's resources, how we may even be headed for collapse. And then other people go, you know, with technology, we can do so much. The future, we can even genetically engineer ourselves, become kind of basically like a new race, if you will. And one of the scenarios I look at that I think is really quite a possibility, and I think has moral implications around it, is this concept of what I call a techno-split, of the real affluent humans using that technology to essentially enhance themselves to a whole new level of what it means to be human, maybe even have neural connections over the internet, whereas so much of the rest of humanity may find themselves facing a collapse because they simply can't access that kind of technology.
We're talking with Jeremy Lent about his book, The Pattern and Instinct, A Cultural History of Humanity's Search for Meaning. And this is a thick book, Jeremy, but it's not some scientific heady thing. You really take us through a cultural history, as the subtitle says, but you take us back to the book starts out about how we became human beings. I've never seen it put so succinctly in one place before, but as you trace this back and you went through, can you kind of explain to me your process as you wrote? Because it had to be something where you had stacks of papers or computers all over your place trying to just put this story together.
Well, yes. You know, what's interesting about the book, it's subtitled, A Cultural History of Humanity's Search for Meaning, but in a way, the book is the result of my own search for meaning. Because I went through a time in my life about 10 or so years ago when the things that I'd built my life around were kind of collapsing around me. And it felt like, well, if I want to make sure that the path that I take in my life is truly meaningful, I wanted to ask myself, what is really meaningful for me? So it began this kind of journey, and I kept sort of peeling the onion, if you will. And I'd read books about, say, where we get notions of the soul or heaven and hell or God or whatever. And then I'd want to understand where those came from. So it was really like a gigantic detective story, if you will. And for years, I'd be like going further and further back, trying to, almost like filling in a jigsaw puzzle, trying to say, well, if this happened there and that happened there, what about what happened with the ancient Greeks, or what happened before then, and so I really enjoyed this kind of detective work. But it was only after a number of years, actually, of doing my own search for meaning, I realized it would be so great if somebody could have mapped this out for me in advance, shown me where things were, how to make sense of it all. And I realized that since I hadn't found a book that did quite that, why don't I just write the book for other people in a position similar to mine who really want to understand better where these ideas that we take for our world to come from.
Well, it seems like it's almost a world history course at a college level if you read this thing, because that's what it took me back to, was my college level world history course. You use a lot of examples, of biblical examples, for the history, the historical purposes. How helpful did you find that as you quoted biblical stories and matched them up with what the historical record shows?
That's one of the most fascinating parts of my own research, and hopefully that comes out in the book, is to look at what we know from the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and try to match that against modern findings in archaeology. There's quite a number of studies now, and really well researched, which corroborate each other. So we can, if we do want to kind of ask that question about what is real about the Bible, the answers are there, but they're sometimes very different from what we actually think coming from the Old Testament itself. And it's especially true of the Old Testament, even more than the New.
How important did philosophy play, the ancient Greek philosophy, into shaping this pattern and instinct just from the early get-go? Because it seems like a lot of people in educational institutions of the day draw back on the ancient Greeks, but were they, for lack of a better term, doing it wrong?
Yeah, I think the ancient Greeks were supremely important in framing the ways in which essentially all of Western civilization has made meaning out of the universe. And in fact, that's something that I think sort of comes out of the book, is that we tend to think of philosophy as this kind of abstract intellectual exercise. You know, it's something they do in academies and the university. It doesn't really play a part in real life. What's so fascinating is because the core ideas that started a lot of them with the ancient Greeks are so foundational to the ways in which we make sense of things even today, that we get to see that these ancient Greeks, these ancient Greek philosophers actually affect every one of us in the assumptions we make pretty much every day of our life. So just in simple notions like the sort of split between a mind and body, or the sense that there's something a value in some sort of transcendence or some kind of heaven, some kind of domain separate from the earth. Some of these core concepts that many of us take for granted, they actually can be traced back to the ancient Greeks.
Well, the book is just fascinating. I mean, I sat and read this thing, and I just learned so much from it. And it's you've got to give it a chance because it's a fantastic book. It's The Pattern and Instinct, A Cultural History of Humanity's Search for Meaning by Jeremy Lent. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Prometheus Books. Jeremy, just a fantastic offering here. We've barely scratched the surface of it. Thanks for talking about it with us today, though.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's great talking with you today.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.